Praise the Lord. Amen. Saints, this is our destiny.
Amen.
This is what we were created for.
Amen.
To stay in our homes.
No. No. No.
To do what?
No.
To go.
Amen.
I really appreciate this verse. After the Lord Jesus accomplished a full redemption, resurrected, right? Ascended. Now he's the king. All authority was given to him. He comes, this point to the disciples, and he gave them one word. What's that word?
Go!
Go! If you're wondering if you need to preach the gospel or not, what's their response?
Go!
If you pray, Lord, should I preach the gospel to this person or not? What do you think will be the answer?
Go!
Go!
Amen.
We should frame that. Go! Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's turn to our fourth, tab. And this week, we'll be covering this line about preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Another way to view it, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 10, when he speaks, when the angel comes to the shepherds and gives them a word, he says, the good news of great joy. So the gospel is also the good news of great joy. But if you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this gospel, this good news of great joy, is our witnessing. So this week, for this line, the subject is the preaching of the gospel, we are not speaking about an activity. What we want to bring, it's a living. That's why we will have five messages about preaching the gospel. Of course, this one, it's about picking up a burden for the gospel. Message number two will be about prayer and companions. In order to have a fruitful gospel preaching life, we need to pray and we need companions. Then we will see the content of our gospel preaching, which is the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah! When we go and talk to people, while we speak to them, needs these two elements, the Spirit and the Word. Then message number four will be we are destined to bear fruit, right? According to John chapter 15, right? The Lord is the vine. We are branches that have been grafted to the vine. And the only thing that a vine can do is to bear fruit. You cannot take a vine and just try to build something from it. You cannot build a table with a vine. The wood is not strong enough. You cannot even take the wood of, the vine and try to make a fire with it. The only purpose for a vine, the only reason for the vine's existence is to bear fruit. And we have been grafted to this vine. So our destiny is to bear fruit. But not just to bear fruit, but as we will see through this week, we want that our fruit to remain. And if we want our fruit to remain, we need to coordinate with the saints in the homes. If we want our fruit to remain, the best place is the home of the saints. And lastly, we will have a special fellowship. So I will leave that to day five, Saturday. So don't miss it. Well, you'll be here. So praise the Lord. Saints, I'm really happy that before this session, we were covering the cycle of life. We have received this life. And as we enjoy this life, automatically there's an issue. That issue is that this life wants to flow out to reach others. That's why we need to pick a burden. The burden is there. We just need to take it. You don't need to pray. We already pray read this wonderful word. Go! Just by that word, you can just pick this burden and go. But we would like to have some more fellowship about how to pick this burden. And in this message, message number one, there's five items in how to pick up this burden. Number one is that this burden was a commission given to us by the Lord. Actually, it's the greatest commission in the Bible, but it's also the Lord's greatest charge. The Lord told us to do this, so we have to do it. As a believer, we have no other option. Also, number two, gospel preaching is our responsibility. Also, in picking up this burden, we need to have a loving heart for people. Our God is a God of love. And His desire is that all men to be saved. So we need a heart that matches our Father's heart. Then we will see that we need to grasp the opportunity in our college years. This is the best time. We need to grasp this opportunity to preach the gospel, to function in this way. And lastly, the people that we gain, we need to see that we are not just having a gospel campaign just to save people and that's it. As I mentioned before, our desire is that our fruit should remain. Why we want this fruit to remain? Because we want to build the body of Christ. We want materials for the Father's house. And in order to have the materials, we need to go out and get the materials. Amen. Okay, so let's go to the outline. And you see that the scripture reading there, you have Matthew 28:19, which we pray read. And if you go to Mark 16:15, let's all turn to this verse. It's very similar to Matthew 28:19. Mark 16:15 says, and this is the Lord speaking, right? To them. Okay, let's all read it. Mark 16:15. And He said to them,
go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all the creation.
Both of these verses are very similar. Matthew 28:19, we are going, right, to disciple all the nations. And to disciple all the nations, he's not just preaching the gospel, but bringing these people, the ones that get saved, right? Heathen people like we, to be in the kingdom of God. And in Mark 16:15, we go and proclaim to all the world, right? And proclaim the gospel to all creation. All creation is waiting for the sons of God, for us, to be completely redeemed. And when we are redeemed, right, completely, spirit, soul, and body, then the creation will be freed. For that, we need to go out and speak the gospel, right? We need to go out and be a witness, a living witness of what God has done in our life. Amen. So let's all read Roman numeral 1. Preaching the gospel. Okay, now Roman numeral 2. Okay, so the Lord not only charges us to go, but we have to realize that this is our responsibility. Okay, in 2 Timothy 4:5, the Apostle Paul is encouraging his co-worker Timothy, and he says to them here in this verse, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And in this epistle, the ministry here is the ministry of the word. It's the ministering of Christ in all of his riches. So when we go and do the work of an evangelist, we bring Christ we dispense Christ to these people in all of his riches. Amen. Okay, let's read letter A. This is very encouraging. Whenever a believer draws near to the Lord, we have received this life, right? This eternal, uncreated life of God in us. And as we have fellowship and we touch this life, there's a sense within us. I guess you can all say amen to this word. There's a sense within us that this life wants to go out to others. And just consider your experience. You're in class. Class hasn't, you're in the room, right? The class hasn't started. Someone sits next to you, and you have this thing within you, close to your heart, and you sense your heart to start pumping faster. And you look to your right, and there's nobody else in the room, and there's someone sitting next to you, and your heart just boom, 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 boom. You know, that's the Lord. Not just your heart, right? But it's the Lord prompting you. Say something. So, as we have fellowship with the Lord, as we have contact with Him within us, there's this sense, I need to say something. I need to speak. I cannot keep this for myself. We have received so much, but now is a time for us to release what we have to others. Yeah. So, let's have a testimony here. Philip. Sorry.
Praise the Lord for the gospel. So I was working with somebody and I didn't really know them that well, and we went to the same school, we had the same job, and I think one day I was just considering, I need to preach the gospel to him, I want to preach the gospel. I was just testing the Lord in a fresh way, I believe, and then I thought I would give him a tract and then tell him to read it, and then I would ask him about it the next week when I saw him. I only saw him once a week at this job. So that's what I did. I walked with him, and I talked to him a little bit, just kind of like asked him a little bit about himself, gave him the tract, and then the next week I came back to work, and I asked him, so how'd you like what I gave you? You know, it was kind of it was a nice way to preach the gospel, because I didn't have to come all at once. I came back, and it opened up a way for me to speak. And so when I came back to speak, he actually touched him. He said, actually, I've been considering these things recently, something like that. He was like, yeah, I was wondering, what's this all about? What's my human life all about? Mm-hmm. I think I gave him the mystery of human life or a vessel that needs God, something along those lines. And so eventually, I don't know if we prayed right then or later, but eventually this man was on top of a building on campus, crying out on the name of the Lord with a bunch of brothers from my campus. And I wasn't even there, but it just it just led to it. So praise the Lord. And then recently, that was a while ago. That was a number of years ago. And so then, just this past semester, I ran into him in the hallway, and guess what? He still remembers crying out on the name of the Lord on that building. Amen. I think he might have been the one who brought it up. He was like, oh yeah, I remember. I was just, oh no, I brought it up, and he said, oh, 2 weeks ago I was thinking about that, about crying. So I believe that was probably the peak of his, that was probably the highest point of his Christian life so far. I don't know how much he's been meeting or in the Word, but anyway, that was just a little, it was a reminder. Wow, that brother got touched, he got saved. Mm-hmm. And praise the Lord. I hope he continues on. I hope I can, you know, contact him in some kind of way. But anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. This is very good, because this is also touches point B, that if we have a heart for the Lord, we will sense the distress of not preaching the gospel. Have you had that feeling? You have someone next to you. You had the opportunity, was there, and you missed it because you were hesitating. The person leaves, and you don't see him no more. just a distress there. If you don't preach the gospel, that life within you is there, right? But however, if we are willing to preach the gospel, we will receive a reward from the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, in this matter of preaching the gospel, I would just like to give you something that I just felt that is from the Lord. A key factor for us in preaching the gospel, it has to do with our appreciation of our own salvation. If you appreciate, if you treasure your salvation, you have the sense that you owe people what you have. You have the sense that you have a debt to settle in bringing what you have to others. Just consider Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 8. I will not read all the verses, but I'll just point out here it brings what was our condition before we were saved, right? Dead in our offenses and sins, walking according to the world, the age of this world, being under the rule of the authorities of the air, right? We were in press. We conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. Whether we were good people or bad people, before receiving Christ, this was our condition. But I appreciate verse 4, which says, but God, amen, being rich in his mercy, amen, right? Because of his great love, which he loved us, right? He raised us up together with him, amen, and made us alive. Amen. So if you realize what was your condition, and now what you have received, then you will treasure your salvation. You will know that what you have, all this all you have also. And you, if you have that appreciation, you will feel that you owe this to people. And in point B, when we preach the gospel, I really appreciate this. If we are willing to preach the gospel, we will receive our reward to the Lord, from the Lord. And I just want to point out at least five items of this reward. If you want to write them out, I will not expound them, but number one, we will reap joy. This is Psalms 126, 5 to 6. Also, we will gather fruit unto eternal life. This is John chapter 4, 36. Also, we will have the people that will get saved will be our joy and our crown. Amen. This is Philippians 4, 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. And in number 4, in 1 Corinthians 15, 50a, there it says that our fruit, our labor will not be in vain, because we will receive this reward. But lastly, in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, these people that get saved through our preaching of the gospel will become to us good friends that will receive us when we meet the Lord. Do you know what that means? Very briefly, let me just give an example here. Can you come? And Nano. So let's just say that Kingswell, what year are you? Second year, okay, good. So, second year, he's compelled by the Lord because he's been enjoying his life, growing, having fellowship. He goes to, what's his name? Zach, right? Preach the gospel to his friend Zach, and he gets saved. What about Emmanuel? His third year. Preach the gospel, the two of them, Emmanuel gets saved. What about the three of them? They say, hey, you know, say, I got this classmate. His name is RJ. They preach to RJ, right? From RJ. And he got saved. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
They got saved. Amen. Okay, let's say, you know, pretend that Kingswell now is meeting the Lord, right? He's going to meet the Lord, Salem. And there's a group of people, no, just stay there. There's a group of people that is shouting with joy, saying, Kingswell, thank you, you guys. Kingswell, thank you. Yeah, just say. Kingswell, thank you. When he goes to meet the Lord, the people that Kingswell helped, right, and led to salvation will be the witnesses of his labor. So this should be an encouragement to us. Because what will happen, okay, you stay there. You please sit down. Yeah. Kingswell lived a life of not preaching the gospel, not speaking to anybody. He's a dear believer. He goes to meetings. He goes to trainings. He comes to the college training. He's enjoying, right? But he never opened his mouth to give what he has within him to anybody. Then he goes to meet the Lord. What a lonely scene. There's nobody there to greet him. Oh, Lord, save us. So, okay, thank you. So having friends, right, the people that get saved through our gospel preaching, to be there should be an encouragement, should motivate us, strengthen us to get this reward. Okay, so let's read a letter C, sisters. Wow. Who can say that I have give these excuses in gospel preaching? It's not convenient. I have to study for my class, for my test, right? It's not the right time. He's sleeping, right? Or he's too busy studying. So many excuses. We need to develop a thick skin in gospel preaching. You know what is the biggest fear in gospel preaching? What? Rejection. Who has that fear? I fear the most. You know, not, I don't know how are you in your disposition, but in my disposition, I don't like to approach people right away and start talking to them. I'm shy that way. I don't, you know, I'm more reserved, so I need the help of others. That means that I need to develop a thick skin. That when I see people, I approach them and I start talking to them. Of course, this doesn't come overnight, right? We need to learn. We need to develop. The way to learn and the way to develop is just to go out and preach the gospel. Of course, the best ones to preach the gospel is our friends. They know you, right? So you can talk to them. It's like a warm door. It's not a cold door, right? To go to and talk to. Okay. Brothers, read Roman numeral 3. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. We have to be moved with this word. He loved the world. Of course, not the satanic system, but the people. That he gave his only begotten son. So that everybody who believes into him will receive eternal life, right? And even in 1 Timothy, this is the desire of God, right? That all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Okay, letter A, sisters. You know, those verses in Matthew 5, 43 to 48, I really appreciate verse 45, which says that the Father, you know, God, he causes his Son, S-U-N, to rise. It's interesting. To the evil and the good, and he sends the rain also. So we need to have a loving concern. If the Father is not withholding anything even from the evil, we shouldn't even do the same. We should go out. We should speak to them. Okay, sisters, letter B. This is a key. If we do not have an intimate concern, our gospel preaching, concerning our fruit bearing and having fruit that will remain will not have the impact. Amen. Actually, in these verses that are here in in 1 Corinthians 12, you see that the most excellent way is to have love. And actually, to have love is to have God Himself. You know, when we partake of Christ, actually, when we partake of the divine nature of God, I mean, God is love, right? And we grow unto maturity. Of course, this is involved a process. We are filled with God who is love. And the more we are filled with this God who is love, guess what's going to happen? We become persons of love. Can you imagine that? Become a person of love? Even love itself. So we need to enjoy the life that we have received. Amen. And you know, of course, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we are partakers of the divine nature. So that love is in us. We need to partake of that love. Actually, that love is God Himself. Okay, brothers, let us see. You know, in these verses in Luke, this is the Lord Jesus there in the cross. And He got asked by one of the ones that was crucified with Him. We have one inside, one on the other side. To be with Him, that the Lord will remember Him in His kingdom. And right there, the Lord didn't discriminate in Him. He said, "Today you will be with Me in paradise." So even at that point, the Lord was not discriminating anybody. We shouldn't do the same. You know, we go on campus and you will see people with, outward appearance. Might look tough, you know, rough. All of the hair different. The rainbow, mohawks, ear piercing, tattoos. That's the greatest sign that will tell you that that person is empty and is looking for reality. That's their outward expression. They're empty. They just want something, and they just found that. So when you see them, don't discriminate. Even if they don't look that way, don't discriminate. Don't say, "Well, this is a good candidate, this is a bad candidate." Just forget about it. We ourselves are not good candidates. Amen. So just open your mouth and let that life that is in you flow out. And let's all read letter D. Amen. You know, these verses in John 15, very quickly, you have the shepherd that goes out to find the lost sheep. And the interesting and most striking word that is there, it says that he goes until he finds it. How long that until is, we don't know, but until we should have the same feeling within us for our friends, our family members, the people that we know, our neighbors. Until they are safe, we are one with the Father. We are one with the Son for them to get saved. And even the Father waiting for His Son to return. He was there waiting. Although this word until is not there, but until the Son returned, He was there. And when He saw the Son, He ran. So we need to have the same feeling as the Father. Amen.
Amen. So I want to get into this right away, the college years. And I do want to present something in an overall positive way, but I do want to say something regarding your college years. I know many of you are starting college and you're going into a new situation. And what I want to say is that maybe in your high school years and growing up, you were able to remain somewhat neutral in your Christian life, maybe even possibly being able to live two lives at times, right? Any of you do that? In college, and as we grow and become young, mature adults, you cannot remain neutral in your Christian life. You will be pushed one way or another in your college years. And I want to present something in a more sober way to start, that you are going into a situation that is full of darkness, that is full of death, and that is full of rebellion. But you are able to bring into that situation a great light. And you are able to save people, even yourself, into God's eternal purpose. Let me read to you Matthew 4:16. The people sitting in one darkness have seen a great light. And to those sitting in the region of the shadow of death, to them light has risen. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim and to say, "Repent! Here you have death, you have darkness, and you have repentance." Repentance indicating that there is a situation of rebellion. And I don't want you to be ignorant that you are going into a situation where people are living godless lives. Maybe in other parts of the world there is idolatry. The idolatry in America is one of philosophy, and the philosophy is a godless philosophy that you can live and you can do whatever you want in your life. That you can sin, you can enjoy this, you can enjoy that, and you are free because there is no law, there is no one over you, and you are American, you can do whatever you want. No, you live to God. God is your head, your life, your everything, and you are going to live in this way. There are classes, even on some top universities in America, where the professors have the goal to prove that there is no God and that by the end of their class, you will no longer be a Christian. And there are ones who believe this. There are ones who live in this way. And this atmosphere is all around you. So I want you to be sober that your college years are years of warfare. There is no remaining neutral. There is no Switzerland. You will be either pushed one way or another. So I want to give you three words. We are not here only just to help you survive, but we want you to thrive. And now to turn it to the very positive side, we want you to multiply. We want you not only to make it through your college years alive and even somewhat enjoying the Lord, grouped together and preserved, but we want you to be a great light, right? We want your college years to be so good and so full of light that you would bring others into the enjoyment of God. So we want to see this, that our college years, we are sober, but we have a unique opportunity. Unique meaning there is no other time in your life like this. Opportunity meaning that all the circumstances around you have been arranged to make it possible to do something, right? There is a great opportunity for you to do something. And that is what, especially freshmen, that is to preach the gospel. And I like to say this, enter into the joy of a fruit-bearing life. You hear preaching the gospel and you think one thing, you think fruit. Think the enjoyment of fruit. This never gets old. This is the best enjoyment on the earth. I love all sorts of sports and I love all sorts of different things, I know. And those enjoyments get old. But the enjoyment of leading a person to the Lord never gets old. Our spring break trip, we brought someone on our trip that wasn't saved, and she was struggling, but by the end, she opened to receive the Lord, and those that were there, when we prayed, you can testify, there was almost no dry eye in the house. It was so wonderful, and I've saved several people, many people, so have the others, but this never gets old. You want in your college years to enjoy the top portion, not just group together. There is joy in that. Not just me and my Lord individual, there's joy in that. But you need a third leg. You need the joy of fruit bearing. Amen. Your college years is the best opportunity to bear fruit. And you can enter into it right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you're encouraged and you're burdened to enter in and to have a turn in your Christian life. We all need a turn. Have a new beginning. You may not know what this is, and I don't have time to explain it, but may Christ be your ABIB. Have a new start. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes and see what kind of an opportunity the Lord has given you. Highlight this, Luke 4, John 4, 35, right? John 4, 35. Do you not say that there is yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Just encourage you, look up. Hallelujah. Your first week, I know, you get very self-conscious about your classes. Can I get this one and that one? Your finances, did I get my financial aid yet? Maybe I need to find a job because I can't pay for this, a place to live, where are my friends, what's my schedule? It's very hectic. Look up. Don't look at yourself. Look up. The opportunity is there in the first week of school. Be saved from being a frog in a well, having a narrow viewpoint, right? But go up where the Lord is, in the heavens, looking down at the white harvest. Hallelujah, we can look up. Oh, Lord. Amen. So we really want to enter in to see that this is quite an opportunity for us, a unique time of life to preach the gospel, to enter into a fruit-bearing life. Amen. How about we just go on? Let's read through these, and then I'll just comment, since time is short, on a few of the points. So let's read Brothers A in a strong way. There is no place like the college campuses where so many open, unoccupied young people are gathered. Sisters B. C. Brothers. In the church life, to contact other freshmen on the campuses. D. Therefore, at the beginning each school year, all the young people in college, especially the freshmen, should forget about everything else. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to try and fly through a few points here. But first word circle is many. There are millions of college students. 100 years ago, there was hardly a million. Today, there's 20, 30 million college students, and they are all gathered. They are right next to you. Don't say there is no one to preach the gospel to. There are so many on your college campuses, and a brother helped us to see a year ago that there is a wave after a wave after a wave of freshmen every year. You from UC San Diego have 5,000 freshmen coming to you every year. And then you have our transfer students on top of that. They are all unoccupied, unsettled, and having a new start and looking for a new direction, purpose, and a group to belong to. Wave after wave is coming to you. Many are gathered. And then they put you in a classroom. And then they force you to do group projects together. How much closer can they get? You have 4 or 5 classes, and you and the UCs have a greater opportunity because you have 3 quarters. Do you see that sovereignly arranged by the Lord to put more people closer to you? Every class, you have one on your left and one on your right. You cannot say that there is no one to preach the gospel to. They are gathered together, and there are many people that are gathered together. Hallelujah. They are also unoccupied, unsettled, and they need a direction for their life. Listen, I have kids. I am occupied with my kids. I have to tell the brothers, I can't play ball. I can't go out to Korean barbecue. I'm not available anymore. Right, Raymond? So they don't have kids. They don't have a mortgage. They don't have huge down payments they have to make on things. They don't have to save up and work all day and struggle and strive to get these things, right? They are unoccupied. However, they become occupied quickly. If you miss the opportunity in their freshman year, even the first week of their freshman year, they become quickly occupied, okay? But they are generally unoccupied, and they are looking for a direction in their life. I tell you, so many young people come without a home, right? They need a home. They need a warm, loving environment. But I tell you, many of you are on commuter campuses. Don't think that because they live at home, they have that warm, loving environment. Many come from broken homes. Many need that church life. Many need a loving, intimate, tender care and concern. Let me just insert a quick story. No, I'm not going to insert it. Sorry. They need the church life. They need you to bring them to the saints. So many times I've had ones in my home, and we don't do anything that special, but we just love our kids, and I love my wife, and I can express that in a genuine way, and they see something that's real, something that's full of purpose and meaning. And they see me giving my life to just take care of these ones, not looking for a huge salary to get the greatest things in life. And they see, wow, what is this, you know? And I've had young people tell me, I want to be like you when I grow up. Not because of me, but because I found just a normal Christian living. Not because I'm special. This can happen in many of the saints' homes. Young people are looking for this direction. Their first year, they need a home. They're unsettled and looking for direction. So we'll have a message on the homes. They'll say more about that. But praise the Lord, they are available right now, their first week, their first year of school. There's also an open door to the freshmen. Leon here is a trainee on our campus, and he has to go up and talk to people because I'm saying, Leon, go preach the gospel. And then he's talking to someone, and he's, hey, how's it going? And yeah, what class are you taking in? And then the question comes, what classes are you taking? And then he does the little dance. I'm in the school, but I'm here to help. And it's just not the same. It's not the same. Not such an open door. There's an open door to you. But you only have these few years of college. I'm telling you, this is a unique time. It passes by. You can never get it back. Even me going to campus, I do my best. But I can't hide the ring, okay? They see I'm different. They want to be together. They want to be together with those that are like them. And they don't have to be together with you in a spiritual way all the time. Just to be where they are, be friends and companions is a big thing. And there is an open door to you all. You know, young people listen firstly to who? To one another. Young people come and they say, my friends, it's like, what bad advice? Who are you listening to? They listen to one another. They're going to listen to you. Then they listen to their advisors and their teachers sometimes. And lastly, they listen to their parents. Just consider yourself. There is an open door to you to be a great light, to lead people to the Lord. So I just lastly encourage you, forget everything. Drop everything the first week of school. Seriously. Drop meeting up with your friends that are in the church life, you know, that you just saw last week. Don't schedule appointments with your full-timers, with your trainees, unless you need it. But this is a one-week period of time out of 52 weeks. Have the appointment right before school or have the appointment the second week. Drop everything, right? Lose a little sleep. Lose a little time of your convenience to do your computer time. There's an opportunity. We need to contact some. We need to follow up with them right away. Be willing to be inconvenienced. We get lists of 100 people the first week, but you need to follow up with them right away. Because if you don't, they'll say, they didn't really mean it, you know. I guess it wasn't really true. But that signing up on that card, yes, we want to meet with you. Have lunch with them that day. Don't say, okay, we'll schedule an appointment for next week. They're like, okay, I can have time to prepare. No, that day, that week, have dinner that night, every night of the week. Okay, I'm intense and I'm crazy, I know. But there is a season. That first week is unlike any other week of the year. Redeem that week. It says, I didn't say this. This is the brother saying this. Forget about everything else. Maybe even some church meetings you need to forget about for that week only. Grab the opportunity. Take care of one thing. Get the new students. Hallelujah. Okay, so many things here. So some practical things just to take away. One, this goes without being said, you have to stay supplied. The life cycle is here, okay? We're not talking about that here. Stay supplied. Two, first day, first week, every class, unfurl your flag. Show them, I am a Christian. I am a believer, right? Don't be ashamed to tell them who you are. You need to exercise boldness, but also wisdom. You don't need to shove it in their face, but you need to state who you are. If they find out later who you are, and then you didn't tell them in the beginning, they'll lose respect for you, right? So tell them right away, I am a believer in Christ, right? Unfurl your flag, and then tomorrow we'll have two more points on prayer and being grouped. But I just like to say this, the first week also, many people table. Go to the table not to socialize. Go to the table to contact people. Don't stay right in front of the table. Venture out a little bit. They'll just slap your hand once, then you go back. Okay, that's fine. Wait till they slap your hand. Before that, you can contact five more people. You don't huddle around the table. Spread out. Open in your class. Maybe there's a freshman connect event going on at the end of the week. How many other people declare what their clubs are doing, right, at the end of your class? Be bold, right? Say, our club is having a freshman connect event. I'll hand out flyers at the door, okay? Be bold. There's 1,200 people in your forum class, right? Okay, there's many opportunities. And then also follow up immediately with text messages or with lunch. Be willing to be inconvenienced. So these are just some practical handles. I don't have time to get into them and to open up about what these things are, but amen. Grasp the opportunity. Okay, lastly, point five, we need to pick up the burden to preach the gospel, not merely to win souls, but to gain more members for the building up of the body. Haggai 1:8 says, bring wood for what? To build the house. Our goal is the house. Also in Ephesians 4:11, it says that there is the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. Our goal is not just to get some points for ourselves, you know, a selfish outlook. I got some saved. Okay, I'm done, you know. My responsibility is taken care of. We are here for the body of Christ. There is no selfishness, right? There is a corporateness to the body of Christ. Our view is to take them also all the way. We don't just want to deliver them from Egypt to leave them in the wilderness, right? We want to take them into the good land to build the temple, enjoy the greatest enjoyment of Christ, and be for the house of God, the building up of the body of Christ. I met some believers the other day. We were doing a Craigslist exchange, and they were from Harvest Church, and Harvest has this big event where they save thousands of people. Then they say, go join someplace, you know, but they save people, but they may not be for the building up. So I gave them the BFA card of the economy of God and the normal Christian life to bring them, hopefully, into the building of God. Our view is the body of Christ, not just soul winning, but all the way for the building up of the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you received something. I hope that was not too wild or too crazy. Praise the Lord. Enter in your college years. Grasp the opportunity. Fruit-bearing life is the most wonderful life. I am still giving my life to bear fruit on the college campuses because it is full of purpose and it is full of meaning. Amen. I hope you would touch that this year. Have a new beginning with the Lord. Amen. Grasp the opportunity. Amen. Let's read the focus all together. As college students, we must be filled with God's indiscriminate love, people, so that we may fulfill our responsibility in preaching the gospel on the campuses for the building up of the body of Christ.